Poverty is the lack of ability to share. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you instant inspiration by candlelight. Just after we finished a sumptuous dinner of risotto and a bunch of other things, and finishing it off with ice cream and conversation about everything leading to babies. But we'll leave that subject for the moment, and we'll get on to the topic for today, which is poverty is the lack of ability to share. Now, that seems like a pretty obvious thing, but is it obvious to us? Do we realize how little we are able to share? Now, I was just talking to Dorothea Ruth Zimmerman, one of the most gorgeous women that you have ever seen, youthful, dynamic, filled with spunk and spit and power, just a fabulous girl. And I said to Dorothea, I said, "You are beautiful." She says, "Oh, now, go, come on now." And I said, "You're gorgeous. You're wonderful." She said, "Oh, you're telling me this. You're telling me this." And I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "The day that you start telling you this, you're going to no longer have the poverty of thinking that you are not beautiful, and you will think that you are beautiful, and you will be beautiful. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, when are we going to put that to motion? Can you put it to work? Mm-hmm. Do you want to live in poverty? Poverty is living in the desire for things that you don't have. Now, some people live in poverty of love. They don't have love. And they don't give love. If they would learn to give love, it would just flood back into their life. Not that that's what they're doing it for, but if they just are loving, everybody loves them. Everybody loves a lover. Everybody loves a lover. See, now, that's it. You all know the song and sing it far better than anybody else, but everybody loves a lover. Everybody loves a rich man, right? Hey! Everybody loves Bill Gates, and the people who don't love Bill Gates are jealous.
Well, true.
It's nothing more than jealousy. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that guy's got it made. And he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. There are some guys who got it made, and we don't think they're nice guys because they do not nice things. All right? We don't like the things they do, but they're still nice guys. We can love everybody for who we are. Now, why do we see people doing things that they shouldn't be doing or doing things that we don't approve of? Because that's us. If we were so unconditionally loving, we would never see a person doing something that they shouldn't be doing. We would never even know a person's doing something they shouldn't be doing. We wouldn't live in their poverty, our poverty, because we created them doing that. We empowered them once we thought that, hey, that's the kind of person that does this. Now, let's watch and see. They do that, you know? And sure enough, they fulfill our prophecy. We say what they're going to do, and they do it because we expect it, and we watch it. Even if we had to come in by the back door and find one little crack, one little chink in the armor, you know, like Achilles' heel, one little place where he could be killed. We all live in abundance. And poverty is where you live without the ability to share. When you want everything for yourself. Have you ever been given a wonderful compliment and someone says to you, "Hey, you're good looking." And you said, "Well, thank you very much." But you realize, I mean, you're right. Thank you very much. You're right. But you realize it takes one to know one. You know, thank you very much. You are a very lovely person yourself. And having you compliment me on looking good, I am many times complimented because of your own outstanding appearance, you know. You're fantastic. And mean it. Don't just say it like words, you know, but mean it. Give it power and give it joy. A lot of kids, they haven't learned this lesson, but when I'm with them, I teach it to them. I say to them, look, if ever you have a question about anything in the world, if that question's important, go to a person you know who is very successful at doing just what it is that you want to question about. If you want to know how to be a salesman, go to a top salesman. And don't worry that the top salesman happened to be president of IBM or something like that. Don't worry whether it's Mr. Ford or anybody else. You go right to them and you say, "Sir, I would like to be a good salesman. What do you recommend that I do to be a good salesman?" And he says, "Well, the first thing is get the hell out of my office." No, he doesn't say that. Well, what he says is, he doesn't say this, but what he feels, "I'm honored that you think I can show you something about being a salesman." And so then the man's virtues come out. Now, you think that if a person is going to tell a poverty-stricken salesperson who doesn't know how to be a salesman, you think he's going to tell him how to deal with the customer? You're wrong. Do you know how the successful person deals with sales? He first deals with himself. He looks in the mirror in the morning and he says, "Good morning, Mr. Wonderful. You're a nice guy. I tell you, everybody in the world just enjoys your company. We're going to go out today and we're going to tell everybody how wonderful they are and what a wonderful product we have. And it's a great, 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 great day, you know." And, you know, first you get to like yourself. You build it up. And you see, then what do? You go out and give people disliking yourself. You know, I have bought things from people that I didn't care for in the slightest because they had such a winning personality, I hardly knew what I was doing. They said, this little widget is a fantastic thing. Man, how did you get to be so strong like that? This little widget is a fantastic thing. I was talking to your wife the other day, and she just respects you. She thinks you're the greatest man on the face of the earth. You know? And this little widget is so wonderful. But he didn't sell me the widget. He sells me all of these attitudes about himself that he is sharing with me. Now you say, "Well, that's a con job." Well, not a bad con job, is it? Not a bad con job. Isn't it nice to buy something and after you bought it, feel good about yourself? Mm-hmm. Most of the time we buy something we feel we really shouldn't have. We really didn't need it. But when you feel good about having bought something after you bought it, well, you're in heaven. You're in a great space. And this is what top salesmen do. Ziegler, who is one of the top men, and many others, Napoleon Hill taught all this sort of good stuff and things like that. They taught you to like yourself first, to find out what your good qualities are, and then use that as the foundation for going out into the world. In other words, give of yourself to the world, and you will enjoy riches beyond measure. When you just give. Now, in my work here, teaching at the university like this here, going around the world giving lectures and so forth, if I for 1 minute think I have to give a lecture on a subject, I'm in trouble. Because I have to think about what they want to hear. But what I do is I go out and I talk about what I want to hear. And I say, "Ask me any question." And like Richard Bach said, "I will answer it to my total satisfaction." Ask me any question and I'll answer it to my total satisfaction because I'm giving of myself. Now, if you went to some famous person and you said to them, "How did you become famous?" And so the person says, "Well, I became famous by giving my very best at every performance and seeing where I could improve and improving, and yet giving and giving and giving." And pretty soon they kept asking me to take new roles of higher and more complex character, and they kept asking me to move out of the characters that I had been playing because they felt I could express the other characters well, and because I was giving my best. It was not me. You see, this is the point. When you are an actor, you are playing the role of whatever character you're playing, and you should not be there. It should be your interpretation, of course, of that character, but it should be that character. When the audience hears you perform, they don't hear you perform, but they hear that character performing as an exquisite expression of himself. And they never think that this is Sean Connery. They never think that this is anybody else other than that, you know. They think it's the character. The minute they begin thinking Sean Connery, he's nothing. And whatever you visualize Sean Connery doing, you will visualize him doing again and again, and boring Bill, boring, boring, boring Bill. But when he lives the character and gives of that character, he is rich beyond measure. And he is. These actors who are successful. Why do we have, let's say, 100 actors and actresses, and we have 2 or 3 at the top? Because the 100 are just doing their job, and the 2 or 3 are being the characters they're portraying. They're being the ideal self. They're giving their very best, and it's work. It's work to do this because they study their lines, and they read their lines, and they study them. They listen all night long as they hear them. They let them play back on the tape recorder. And they look in the mirror, and as they look in the mirror, they see that character that they're portraying, and they see that their face outlines that character, and they spend hours doing this and in the beginning. But after a while, they slip into the character more readily because they have trained themselves in that art. And they have given of themselves, and that's why they're wealthy. Again, Bill Gates, he gives of what he loves to do. That's why he's wealthy. He didn't follow the path that most people followed, but he followed the path of his heart. And those who were with him and stayed with him during his early years, they're all millionaires today. They're all extremely wealthy. And they're extremely wealthy not because of anything else, except that each one gave unlimitedly to whatever project they were working on. And Bill happened to spearhead the concept. And all of them succeeded brilliantly and are still succeeding. Now, we have a lot of fascinating things in our world. But the most fascinating thing is the people who give of themselves. I will ask you this question. We have spoken about this before. What does a homeless person make you feel? What does a bum or a beggar make you feel? You say, "Yuck. I work for my living, and you want me to give you my money that I work for you just saying I'm poor and I don't have something to eat? Go get a job. The jobs are there. I can't get a job because I am an engineer, and I'm this and that, and I'm overvalued and overpriced for anything. Hey, scrub a floor. If you can't get a job, start your own business. Go mow people's lawns, you know. Sweep people's sidewalks. Do whatever you must do, but do something. And if you don't make enough money on the simple little things that you got going to feed yourself, at least you're working at it. And you respect yourself. And other people respect you. There was a young man. He was asked in college to go in and interview this executive in this company. And he went in to interview this man. And as he was talking to him, he asked the man all the normal questions about success and everything like that. But then the young man had a particular interest in some of the things that the executive was working on. And the executive was talking to him about, let's just say, mousetraps. And the young fellow said, you know, the reason that I think that mousetraps really don't work effectively is that they're too short. If they were a little longer, they could capture the mouse more effectively. And the man he was talking to didn't say anything. And then, as they went on to another subject, the man was talking about some other situation, and the young man spoke up relative to that right from his heart, something that was deep within him that it gave to it. And when the interview was over, the man, the executive, said to the young man, "Where do you work?" And he said, "I go to school." "Well, when are you finished?" "I'll be finished this, you know, this summer." "When you're finished, you come see me. I'd like to talk to you." And the young man said, "All right, you know." So school finished, and he went to talk to this man. And he said, "Son, when you interviewed me, you were telling me how deeply interested you were in everything I was doing, in everything that I was talking about. You were deeply interested in all the concepts that I was presenting to you. You know, deeply interested in that you feedback to me on ideas. And he said, I would like to show you what I did. Here is the mouse trap. It's 3/4 of an inch longer, and it has been proven absolutely effective. Here is this, that, and the other thing. And he named 3 or 4 items of what I have taken that you told me about, how you offered suggestions without any pride, without anything. I'm so darn good, you know. But then the man said, can you come to work for me? And the young fellow said, well, thank you very much, you know. I'm just beginning. And he said, that's just fine. I want to put you in as vice president in charge of production because you think. You don't just listen and take what people say. You think about it and you make it something real. You are not a poverty person. You are a giving person, a sharing person. You are a person who is not afraid that someone's going to steal your ideas or that someone is going to misunderstand what you're doing. You just give. And, of course, the fellow got that job and became quite confident and quite, this is in one of those good stuff articles. We have a little magazine called Good Stuff, and they tell about people who have risen to the top, but who started at the bottom. It's just like the guy, Wendy's Hamburgers, you know. And Wendy had lost his mother and lost his father and lost this and lost that, and he was raised by a grandmother who died. You know, it's so funny. He went to see the colonel of Colonel Sanders, McDonald's, and as he talked to him, he said, well, what I'd really like to do is to learn your business. And the colonel says, well, that's an interesting approach. And so he hired the guy, and he learned the business. And within a few years, he had 3 franchises of the Colonel's, doing very well. And then he sold the franchises and started Wendy's himself. And Wendy's, as you well know, has grown to be quite competent, quite good. But this guy, he was willing to start, you know, with them, and not that he knew he was going to be good, but he realized that if he associates with people who are great in the area he wants to be great in, it'll rub off. And as long as he has the humility and the readiness to stand by and listen and learn, magical miracles happen. And this is what happened to him. This is what happens to each one of us. If our wife or our husband gives us a little difficulty, the reason they're giving us difficulty is because we're not communicating. We're not getting across the fact that, hey, I love you regardless of anything. The husband comes home and says, I was fired. And the wife says, well, no wonder, you know, you're such a stupid, blah, blah, blah. And he needed that, you know, he really needed that. Yeah. But the wife says, well, sweetheart, you know, whenever one door closes, another opens far better than the one that closed. And I'm standing back of you to say, you can do it, you know, whatever you want to do. And now I suggest you take a week off and just relax. And forget about everything, and then you'll be ready to go out there and do thunder. Well, you know, what's going to happen to that guy? Ooh-wee! You know, and the guy with his wife. The wife says, dear, this house is a mess. The kids are driving me crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll just get up to here with it. And he says, sweetheart, I get a week off next week. And you take a week off by yourself. And you go down to the beach and have a ball. And I'll take care of the kids, I'll take care of the house, I'll take care of everything. And when you come back, I won't have really too much work for you to do, because I really will do a good job. I'll really put things away and wash up things and do good things. And she says, really? You do that for me? You know? You would do that for me? Wow! And if you don't think that marriage, that relationship is right tippy-top, you've got another guest coming. But this is what happens when we give. When we give totally of ourselves. And it can be a very little thing. It can be a very little thing when our person we have a relationship with is having a difficult time. We just say to him, hey, Pumpkinhead, let me finish that. You go to the show. You do something else. You know, have a beer. Go do something else. And they say, you do that for me? Sure. What the heck? Why not? And either way, it's wonderful. And when she's sitting on the bed, rolling the socks and getting them ready to put in the drawer, you come in there and you sit down next to her, and you start picking it up, not saying anything, just start picking it up and rolling up the socks and folding the handkerchiefs and doing all the things, making it nice. And before you know it, the two of you are just snuggling and enjoying one another tremendously. You see, it's this sharing, and it breaks down all the barriers and opens up all the doors and all the poverty of relationship, all the poverty of money and values, all the poverty of world peace and everything else falls right into place, into harmony, peace, love, joy, fulfillment, and everything that's good. So this is what I suggest for me and that I love to do, and I work on it. If I were absolutely fantastic at it, I would always be having a great time. And those of you who know me know I'm always having a great time. I love you very much, and I see each one of you having a great time. So, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now, I must go down to the embassy and put our Sunday message on the tape down there for those who call in for the Dial a Healing Word. Thank you very much. You're great. Good night.